This is not the first time you gentlemen have been on the boards, have been on stage together at the same time. How far back do we want to go? Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 459, George and Tim. George Wendt and Tim Kazurinsky are well known to TV and film audiences around the world. George, of course, played lovable barfly Norm Peterson on the sitcom Cheers, while Tim's face is recognizable from his days on Saturday Night Live and the Police Academy movies. And that's not even including his career as a writer for film and television. George and Tim are now appearing in the world premiere of a moving new play called Funny Man at the Northlight Theater here in Chicago, and they were gracious enough to talk to me last week about their time together on stage, both now and going back to when they first got their start at Second City.
We get back almost 40 years, yeah.
Yeah, wow. Nearly. 77.
77 at Second City?
Yeah, Second City and environs, such as Chateau Louise, ooh, which was the sort of precursor to the Northwest Company.
Oh, okay.
I think it ran for about 4 or 5 years out
mm-hmm.
there.
Yeah.
And how did you guys get into performing at all? Or performing at all and Second City specifically? What were the steps that led to that?
I'd been a reporter for a year in Pennsylvania. I'd worked in the ad business as an ad man until I was almost 28. And to better present my commercials, I thought I would take a class at Second City to get over my fear of being in front of people, wow, like the heads of the agency at Leo Burnett.
Wow.
So that's how
wow
I joined in.
Yeah. I was a clueless young man, kind of a late bloomer, and I really, you know, after college, I had no idea what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And friends of mine said, if you don't know what you want to do, then I know what you want to do. What's that? Go to Europe. So it was genius.
Okay.
So I went to Europe and, slept on the side of the road and, you know, lived on lemons and hashish and, in Morocco or whatever, yeah, Algeria, Tunisia. And we stayed in the south because we were indeed sleeping on the side of the road. And eventually, you know, it gave me a nice couple of year cushion,
right,
from my parents in my face going, what are you going to do with your life?
Yeah.
And I started using the process of elimination, figured I just made a list of things, and I knew I would hate everything, and I didn't want to do something I was going to hate. The only thing I could think of that I wouldn't hate was being on stage at Second City. So I never thought about TV or a career and entertainment. That would have been far too daunting.
Yeah.
So I only wanted to work at Second City. And had I any idea how hard that was, I would have ran for the hills. But
so it wasn't because you had done plays in high school and you thought this was the next logical step for either of you?
No, not for me.
Yeah.
I had absolutely no training either. Never had an acting class until I walked into Second City and took a class with Josephine and Dell. And that was, you know, and I still, that was not my goal. I just wanted to be a better ad man and not, you know, poop my pants when I had to present to the heads of the agency. And I was, when they offered me a job, I was sort of shocked. And I was like, what? You know, I just couldn't believe it. So
And kind of a significant pay cut, I'm imagining.
About an 80% pay cut from
wow,
from Leo Burnett Advertising to Second City. And but I'm 2 years later, a couple years later, I got hired at Saturday Night Live, and I made up for that pay discrepancy pretty quick.
Well done. Well,
you know, speaking of just wanting to polish your pitches and be more comfortable, one of my best friends in my workshop with Josephine Forsberg was Brandon Tartikoff,
oh,
who was a junior executive at ABC here in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And he had the exact same experience. He was trying to, you know, figure out his pitches for in Hollywood and New York.
Wow. And was he at NBC when you were doing Cheers?
Indeed he was. It's funny.
He was also at NBC when I was doing Saturday Night Live. So.
Okay.
And, you know, he offered me a development deal after Second City, And my agent goes, oh, no, we don't do those. Don't do that. Pass on that. So I go, okay. So I pass on this development deal. Then Bernie Sollins calls me up a couple weeks later and goes, I've got a writing job for you, you and Tim and Mary. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, I needed the money. And Tim and Mary and I wrote this this pilot. Turns out that was the pilot that I had passed on as an actor. Now I'm writing it. Yeah. But, you know, Brandon was still in my corner when Cheers came around, so that was great.
Well, and of course, most of our listeners will know you guys from Cheers and Saturday Night Live. My favorite, I still say... I mean, it's not even a catchphrase. I just remember here in all the Mr. Robinson sketches with Eddie Murphy. I hear your voice. Robinson!
Robinson, yeah. It didn't hurt to be Eddie Murphy's landlord.
Kill the landlord.
C-I-L-L, my landlord.
Landlord. And yet you guys have done a ton of stage work, not just a Second City, but on national tours. Tim, you just got back from a 14-month tour of Wicked?
Wicked. 14 months in Wicked, then that led to, because Joe Mantello directed that, he came and saw it in L.A. at the Pantages and immediately hired me to do his next show on Broadway. So I did this show called An Act of God with Jim Parsons. So timing is everything. And thanks to him, I had been a screenwriter for 20 years, and just as the ass was falling out of my screenwriting career, George calls up and says, let's go to Kansas City and do The Odd Couple. I went, that sounds like fun, and it was, and it led to a whole new career.
Well, that's got, yeah, you guys are a great pair, a great act, the double act.
Yeah. Well, it's a sight gag from the get-go.
I never thought of that.
Sometimes I just look at him and you know, it's hard to keep a straight face. One critic brilliantly put it, Tim Kazurinsky with his clenched fist of a face.
That's great.
I forget who the reviewer was when we were doing a Saturday Night, Second City, but I kept getting, you know, the tiny performer and the diminutive performer, and this one guy finally called me an infinitesimal speck of a performer. I'm like, Jesus Christ, you have to be looked at under a microscope? God.
But now it's on your business card, so it could...
It's the name of my company.
I guess it's in terms of acting advice for any young actors out there, is the best thing you can do for a stage career to be regulars on television? Because that's how they'll hire you, because you're famous?
You know, Bebe Neuwirth was a Tony winner already when she joined Cheers. But... she came back to Broadway in starring roles. You know, she believed that. She took Cheers just to, you know, have a higher profile nationally.
Wow. Speaking of the television, we were in the bar the other night, and George, of course, you're sitting in a bar. Everybody wants to take your picture. Does that happen all the time?
I used to think that it was like camouflage, you know, like I was in like a raccoon in a tree, that no one could see me in my natural element. But a lot of people, you know, because I'm trapped there, and it's okay, it's fine. It goes away in a few minutes.
Do people yell out Norm waiting for a great hit?
No, not very often.
They do.
Well, you know, once in a while a truck driver will go bonk, bonk, hey, Norm, you know, like whoa, that's a little rattling. But it's happened far less in the last decade or so. Now my little brother looks exactly like Norm, so he gets it more than I do.
14 years younger.
And Tim, do people say to you on the street, kill my landlord?
No, I used to get a sweet shot from the Police Academy movies. I used to get that, but now that has died down because that's...
Thank God.
Two generations ago, we were
in Kansas City, and we got pulled over one night.
Oh, God, yeah. We were, let's shall we say, slightly impaired. luckily, the gendarmes were Police Academy fans, and... We sort of got left off with a talking to, as it were. So we dodged that bullet.
This is more great career advice for all of our listeners.
Hi, this is Neil Flynn from TV's Scrubs. You are listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company's podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? Our fall of 2015 tour continues this week with performances of The Complete History of Comedy Abridged and The Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged in Virginia, California, Louisiana, North Carolina, Missouri, Kansas, and Michigan. And then next April and May of 2016, we'll perform the official Reduced Shakespeare Company premiere of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged, at the Folger Shakespeare Theater in Washington, D.C. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with George Wendt and Tim Kazurinsky, who are starring in the world premiere of the new play, Funny Man. Funny Man is inspired by the story of when legendary vaudevillian and famously the cowardly lion Burt Lahr was cast in the Broadway production of Samuel Beckett's Waiting for Godot. Playwright Bruce Graham has given George's character Chick Sherman a new character and a backstory that includes a daughter, a showgirl, and parts of Buster Keaton's childhood.
Well, you talk about the time you've spent working together. The play that you're in now, Funny Man, it's so moving. I mean, you guys are great, and the production is wonderful, and it's so moving. But a lot of the poignancy, I think, comes from the fact that you guys are playing the leads, not necessarily from the characters so much, but that you, George, embody Chick, and you, Tim, embody his agent, Carp. I don't know what my question is.
Well, you know, I tell you, my daughter, who sort of pretty much hates everything, and she's not a big showbiz person, she said that this was the best thing that she'd ever seen me in, and then my wife told me that she looked over and saw my daughter crying. Oh. And then George told me today that his son Danny said it was the best thing he's, like, ever seen.
Regardless of whether it was me or not, but
wow. Yeah, regardless of us, and so that was pretty rewarding.
I think there's a lot of, and I think the play talks about this too, because nobody takes comedy seriously, but the minute two comedians play it straight, suddenly you're more talented.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, you're asking about career advice and being on television. I'm reminded nephew Jason Sudeikis was asked by somebody, Letterman or somebody, and how did your Uncle George, did he give you any advice? And Jason blithely, of course, says, well, he said, my advice is get on one of the best sitcoms of all time and pretty much take it from there.
That is very good advice, and it's worked for him.
Yeah.
He just went your route, Tim.
Yeah, he's amazing. We did in the mid-90s, we went over to Ireland and did a comedy fest, the Cat Laughs Comedy Fest, and basically Jason was fresh out of school and was schlepping our bags around, and then, you know, the last couple of days, we said, you know, let him jump in and just do a couple of these shows with us. He was better than us. He was amazing. Yeah. It was like, well, like, let's get that kid is incredible.
That little fucker.
Yeah, no, he's sharp kid.
Yeah.
When it came to do the play, did was it just another gig? Albeit close to where you live, Tim, here in the Chicago area, or did it speak? Did the subject matter of the play speak to you guys? You know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was sent the play and I read it. I was kind of like knocked out and really realized it would be, you know, a huge challenge. And I just sounded like Donald Trump, didn't I? Huge.
Huge.
A huge talent.
You were slightly less of an asshole, though. Congratulations.
Thank you. Anyway, I thought it would be good to challenge myself.
Yeah, absolutely.
After 20 months on the road of being out of town, I so did not want to come back and a couple of days later, jump into another play. I was like, oh, God, no. And then the chance to work again with George, and then B, and I read it and went, I'm in. I can't pass this. I'm CL2 for so. I'm really happy that I did.
Well, it's a good. I mean, they're great. They're great parts for both of you, and it's fun to watch you together. I wanted more. I think we were talking about this earlier. I wanted more scenes about them arguing about how this play, the play within a play, should be done. Because I love those arguments. In fact, this podcast is an 8-year argument about how plays should be done. You know, I wanted more of that. Was there any of that in rehearsal, either arguing about the play you're playing or the play within the play you're playing?
No, not really. We trimmed, you know, maybe 5, 6, 7 pages. Oh. But it was pretty much as is, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. It was just a matter of editing and just making very tiny cuts. And I got to say, Bruce Graham, the playwright, and also BJ Jones, were really terrific at figuring out what needed to go from where. And and it was really those two guys. And they've done 4 of Bruce's plays before, so they knew each other really, really
four
well.
4 world premieres at Northlight.
And the cast is great from top to bottom, like including Amanda and Michael as the young lovers, which could so easily be the most boring, worthless part of the show, and yet they're lovely and charming, and they're funny, and they're not just exposition machines.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and Steve and Rob are fantastic as the... Yeah. As the director and the playwright, they just really give the play such energy and really droll humor. It's wonderful.
Well, and I had seen Steve in the earlier this year in the Writers Theater production of Doubt, where he played the title the priest about whom everyone has doubt, and it couldn't have been more different than what the performance he gave in this, and he was phenomenal, phenomenal in that as well. Yeah,
I'd like to see that.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us a play based on your life via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter, and please post reviews of this podcast on iTunes. Just click on over to iTunes or Facebook or Twitter now. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, lovable barfly Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Devlin Harris. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to TV's Neil Flynn, star of both Scrubs and The Middle. Thanks also to George Wendt and Tim Kazurinsky, as well as the Northlight Theater and Kathy Taylor for making this interview happen. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Tichner for 159/1377 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Well, one last question, as I've always wanted to ask you this, is when I was in grad school and a graduate director, we would rehearse the shows that I'm directing. We always took Thursday nights off because back when Thursday night was genuinely must-see TV. And then when Cheers went off the air, that final classic night of the live broadcast from the actual bar. I'm forgetting the name of the bar now. The Bull and Finch pub, of course. And how how crazy was that night?
Well, we were just stupid drunk, and Jay Leno was very green. He was about 3 weeks onto the job, and it was a live broadcast with 7 or 8 of just shattered drunks, and. You know, I think I was making out with Woody and shooting spitballs off Jay Leno's forehead and stuff. And it was bad.
Talk about must-see TV. It was amazing.
Yeah, not proud of it.
All right, that's the final lesson for young actors today. Don't get hammered on live television.
Unless you're on Drunk History.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.